I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Today on the show, I am talking to Ron Fazio. He is the COO of Hemp Synergistics. Ron worked for decades in criminal forensics and just about every aspect of the criminal forensic lab. Well, he's left to bring his knowledge of how the forensic lab works, and along with Purdue School of Criminal Forensics, he's helped to develop three handheld testing units that can measure the THC level of hemp right there on the side of the road. This is huge. This is the kind of thing that can change the way law enforcement deals with hemp interstate commerce, even in the strictest of states. I was afraid this one could get real scientific real fast, but Ron is a very intelligent guy, and he's super easy to talk to, and he boils it down so well. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this one. This is my conversation with Ron Fazio.
I'm coming from Zelianople, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that sounds easy to spell.
It is just as easy to spell as you might imagine.
I would guess. Yeah.
So we could say Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's probably better.
Pittsburgh, outside of Pittsburgh. Yeah. We'll say that.
Outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, everybody knows two T's, Pittsburgh. Everybody knows that one. So
with the H.
So Ron, tell me about you a little bit before we get into this new testing. Shall we call it a device?
Sure. There's actually three devices.
Okay.
This is the first of the three. My background has been predominantly in forensics and laboratory testing. So I've worked in the forensic field in multiple states for actually decades. I was able to start and operate a private full-service accredited crime lab. We serve predominantly law enforcement agencies, but we also serve defense attorneys and civil attorneys.
Sure.
And we did things from narcotics testing, firearms, crime scene, DWI, those standard kind of normal crime lab tests.
So how do you go from that background to working in hemp and marijuana testing? How does that happen?
Can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Fair enough. I like that answer, actually.
Well, the state of Pennsylvania legalized hemp a few years ago, and I was seriously considering applying for at least a dispensary license. And I spent some time with some interesting, very capable people in the industry in Pennsylvania. My background being what it was, I really had some of the most comprehensive, in-depth, yet legal experience in narcotics, specifically marijuana. Mm-hmm. And that really led to my kind of gravitating towards this. So at the time I was working as a senior executive with another organization. I finished my tour with them and, working with Russ Rosasimo and some other people, we decided that, that hemp is, it's a fantastic industry. It's growing rapidly. The cannabinoids, with the Farm Bill and the DEA regulation changes made it these cannabinoids accessible to pretty much the entirety of the population in the United States, if not the world.
Right.
And the bottom line is, if people are going to consume cannabinoids, they should be able to get them in a safe and efficacious manner. They should know that the product that they're taking, if they want no THC, they should be getting a product that has no THC. If
Preach.
They want,
absolutely. Yeah. That's what we do here at Ministry of Hemp, is push that. Yep. Definitely.
Yep. And, to do that, you need to have some pretty significant laboratory skills, chromatography in particular. And that's just, what I had. So it's interesting that my background in, testing marijuana as a Schedule One or anywhere from Schedule One to Schedule Three narcotic, depending on what state you're in, really led me to where I'm at today. And I love where I'm at.
So from there, you hook up with Purdue University Northwest's newly formed Center for Crime Forensics. How does this happen? You just said, hey, I used to work in crime forensics. You guys are working in crime forensics. I've got an idea. You just reached out, or?
Well, their director, Dr. Christian Westring, and I are colleagues. Okay. We've worked together in the past.
Okay.
And, you know, so Christian and I have remained friends ever since. And, you know, I early on had talked to Dr. Westring about, you know, the possibility of taking an existing forensic test that was in the public domain, nothing special about it, but modifying it so that it could be used to quantitate or semi-quantitate THC in a field test. Simple, easy, yet reliable, so that law enforcement could determine the difference between, hey, this is hemp versus, hey, this is really marijuana, and it needs to go to the lab for testing.
Because I can't think of a bigger waste of time for law enforcement agencies that are looking at, you know, real crime. Like, I read about, like, how you had said, like, there were things like rape kits that were getting put on the back burner while this long testing was going on, so someone could see, is this hemp product hot, like, over by 2 or 3 percentage points, which is just ludicrous. When we're trying to solve rapes or murders, get this crap out of here. It's just stupid. Is that what sort of pushed this idea forward, your own experience working in these crime labs?
Yeah, so the test to identify something as being marijuana is very simple. It takes literally minutes. So a crime lab, any crime lab, can knock through, you know, hundreds if not thousands of these in a week.
Sure.
But the test to say, we've got to measure the amount of THC, and that's important by weight, and therefore make a determination whether it's industrial hemp or marijuana, turns that test that's in literally a couple minutes long to a test that takes typically 6 or more months and costs hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
So why is that? Why is it so easy for them to say, yes, this is definitely marijuana, but when you want to look at something like industrial hemp, what is the difference in that test that makes it so difficult?
Well, without getting into the science, it's just the level of instrumentation, the way that you extract it, the way you prepare your sample, and the way that you do the test itself. If a marijuana identification could typically be done with some color test, a very simple microscopy, and boom, you're done.
Right.
Whereas a quantification, that's how much THC is in there. You have to weigh it. You have to extract a certain amount. You have to extract a certain procedure.
Got it.
You have to run it on some sort of mass spec. You have to be able to measure those ions, come up with the or integrate the curve and be able to come up with the amount, and then back calculate how much it was per the original mass percentage wise.
So the problem lies in the fact, not so much that, like, is this marijuana or is it not marijuana? We have to ask the additional question. Okay, it's not marijuana, but how much THC is actually in it? That's what
is it hemp or not?
Yeah. Yep. Gotcha.
Yep.
So how do you?
Because they're the same plant, industrial hemp,
right?
And marijuana are exact same plant,
just different levels of THC. That's all.
Correct. Correct.
So how do you take a 6-month testing regimen like that and smash it down into something? We'll get to the device in a minute, but just smash it down into a test that you can perform in minutes.
Well, it's not the same test. It's a different test.
Okay.
And the question is, getting back to what you said before, law enforcement doesn't want to have to investigate, prosecute, arrest somebody if they don't have to.
Right.
They got better things to do.
They don't have time, period. Yeah.
They don't have time. It's just a lot of money and effort. So, you know, but they don't have any current tools in the field to say, you know what, this is almost certainly marijuana.
Right.
Or conversely, this is almost certainly legal hemp. On top of that, different states have different rules. Some states say 1%, some states say 0.3%. I know the federal rule is 0.3, but the states have come up sometimes with disparate rules.
Right.
So a law enforcement agency in Texas may differ than a law enforcement agency in Kentucky. And so there's not one singular thing that you can do up until this point to say, you know, hey, this is more consistent with hemp than it is with marijuana.
Sure.
So the trick is to make a color test, an existing technology, and be able to convert it to a color test, almost like a kind of like a when you test the pH in your pool.
Yeah.
Is this, you know, what is the percentage? The trick is people can misinterpret colors or shades of colors. And so we had to come up with a way to measure the color that was pretty much objective for anybody that's looking at it. And we did that with the way that the color is or the light is transmissible through the color, if that makes sense. How much can you see through it?
Is this like a chromatology test like you were talking about? Or you're like-
it's a color test.
Okay.
And it's a color test like you do, the basis of it is a color test like you would do measure the chlorine in your pool.
Right.
Or the pH of something.
Yeah, I'm an aquarium nerd, so I know all about that.
Yeah.
So,
there you go. Yeah. It's more complicated than that, but that is the base chemistry going on. The trick, again, is how do you turn that into something that if you gave that a color to three different people,
right,
they might get three different readings.
Right.
So the real trick is we were able to take, or Purdue, more correctly, was able to take that and turn that into an objective reading so that anybody could look at that and get the same result.
And what does that look like? Is it like a number based? Or
it's number based. It's okay. Right now it's measured in increments of 0.005. Percent of THC, and that will come down. That level of discrimination will actually get better with subsequent devices. And I'll go into the devices in just a minute.
Sure.
But the first iteration is a very simple color test. It's operated very similarly to what existing field test kits that law enforcement use right now. They take some sample, they put it in there, they shake it up, they look at the color, they can make some interpretive results.
Now, let me stop you and ask you real quick. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've heard in speaking to other people about testing is that when it comes to hemp, it really depends how you test it as well. Like if you test some of the fibrous stock, you're going to be fine. But if you test some of the flower, you could be way over. Or if you test the leaf and the flower could push the leaf over, or vice versa. When you say take a sample and test it, how does that work? What are they sampling?
So they would have to take a representative sample. Presumably most of these are going to be flower hemp.
Okay.
That is the smokable, the aerial portions of the plant.
Right.
And those have to maintain a certain percentage of cannabinoids based on that jurisdiction's rules. Again, a jurisdiction may say 0.3, that's it, no leeway.
Right.
They may say 1%. Anything above 1%, we're going to investigate. Anything under it, we're going to cut them loose.
Sure.
It's just not worth it. Most of the tests on smokable plant product has actually shown that THC is less than 0.3. It's the extracted products where it becomes very, very likely that it's going to be way above 0.3.
Right, because they're boosting it in during the extraction process, basically.
Concentrating it.
Or concentrating
all the cannabinoids,
right,
including THC. And without, you know, the ability to remove THC, you get, more often than not, believe it or not, you get products that are above the legal limit.
Sure. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So you've got your, let's start talking about the device here. I'm the police officer. I've pulled over a truck. It's hauling flower hemp. And I take a look and go, well, that sure smells like marijuana to me. Good thing I've got my handy dandy, what is it called? I was going to say test.
True. Hemp. TRU.
I'm sorry?
The TRU, THC recognition unit.
I like that. That's nice. So if they take out their true unit, what am I holding? Does it look like a walkie-talkie? Does it look like a space gun? Like, what does this thing look like?
So the first iteration, the simplest one, is a liquid test kit. So you have you open your box, you pull out a test kit. It is everything that you need inside.
Okay.
There is a sampling device and a way to homogenize and take a consistent amount of sample. And without going to details, which are exceedingly boring, it's a way to take.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's no problem. You take a little bit of the plant material or whatever material, you put it into another device. You grind it with a special little disposable grinder. It packs down into the bottom of the cone, and then you pick that out, and that is actually a very consistent amount of THC, or a very consistent amount of product.
And everything you've just described sounds like exactly what I would do if I were going to smoke it, for example. So
there you go. You got to grind it first,
yeah,
put it in a bowl.
Same rules. Okay.
You know. Then you take that pellet that you've made, you drop it into your test container. It's a very, very small pellet. It's probably about the size, if you imagine a pinhead, but now in the shape of the same diameter pinhead, but it's a ball, little ball shape.
We're talking a tiny amount then.
Tiny amount, okay. Very tiny amount. You drop it in there and it's, you give it about 2 minutes for the color change. And then you take that and you hold it up on a reading card. And the reading card is imprinted numbers. And then you roll it down or move it down the reading card. And the minute that you can see the numbers, you know what percentage.
This is exactly like the Penplax, you know, pH test that I use on my aquarium. Yeah. I literally move the vial down the color spectrum, only they don't have numbers. You can see like, oh, that matches the color that I'm looking through. You know, there it is.
Correct. It's always the same color. The trick is, you know, how much opacity, how much is in there, how much color. You won't be able to see the numbers
right
until you, you know, boom, until you hit the right amount.
So there's no argument. You know, even if I'm colorblind, I can look and say, like, this is okay. I don't see the number one. I don't see the number two. I do see the number three.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Very simple.
And that's now it's a liquid. Like you said, you're dropping this in a liquid.
It's a liquid.
Okay.
And everything can go back into the bag. If it turns out it's above that jurisdiction's legal requirement and they're going to investigate as marijuana, they can put everything back in the bag, seal it. That bag can be submitted as evidence along with whatever they seize, whether it's a small little baggie of plant material, whether it's a tractor trailer. So if somebody wants to come back later and say, okay, what did you do? What did you sample? What did you look at?
Right.
Right there in the self-sealed container. If not, it can go right in the trash.
What about vice versa? Can they, if I am shipping this, could I use this testing unit to show police like, hey, I've got my own right here. Here's what I'm hauling. Feel free to take your own sample and do yours and we can compare.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about this is at a price point and usability that anybody in the industry can use, from shop owners, anybody in the transportation business, growers. It is not going to replace, like for a hemp grower, the statutory state laws in terms of laboratory testing.
Sure.
But if they want to go in and they want to get a quick check on whether THC is doing that day, that week, for, you know, a few dollars, they can come in and do the test and know real quick where they're at.
And you're talking a two-minute test, by the way. You're not sending it anywhere. You're not
sending it anywhere.
Waiting for results to come back. You shake it up and you sit there and you go, oh, this zone of the field is a little hot. Let's back down on whatever, or let's water more. I don't even know how it works.
Harvest early.
Yeah, to, you know, exactly. Whatever, I know there's whatever things they can do.
Yeah, it gives them the ability to manage their crops a little better. Truckers, you know, they're, you know, I know I got a lab report, but what trucker knows how to read a lab report?
Exactly.
How do they know that lab report actually meets what they're shipping?
Right.
It's easy to, you know, it's easy to forge something like that. So it gives them a chance for a few dollars to be able to test it really quick and you know, just know where they're at.
And so, what exactly are they testing for? They're testing for Delta 9 THC. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's simple enough that, like you said, a trucker can do it. A traffic cop can do it. You know, it sounds pretty straightforward. How is law enforcement reacting to this? Are they in? Or do they like this because it simplifies things? Were they hesitant? Or, I mean, you've got Purdue behind you, which is a good name to have. Obviously, they're a nationwide recognized crime lab. Is anyone rolling this out yet? Is anyone using it in the field?
Yeah, so we do have, I'm not at liberty to discuss the particular police departments, but we do have partner police departments that are, will be evaluating this in the field. Undoubtedly, we're going to get, you know, things back that need to be changed or modified.
Of course.
You know, wide acceptance. The really big deal about this, the first stage of the three products, all three are developed and validated within a university.
Right.
And that's a really important distinction. This is not a product that was hatched in by a private company and made and, you know, trust us, it works. This is a product that was tested, validated in a university setting, and that data will be published in scientific journals so that anybody can go pull them, see what their, you know, reliability is, see what their error range is, see that they're, you know, truly a validated field test.
Right. We're above board. We're not just trying to sell you something.
Correct.
So tell me about the units themselves. You said there's three of them right now.
Correct. So the second one is a works on the same principle, but it will be a handheld meter about the size of two or three decks of cards.
Okay. So this is small. I mean, it's not like a heavy, bulky thing. You can throw this in the car.
Correct. Police cars are, a lot of people don't, they probably don't realize this, but police cars are jammed packed.
Oh, yeah.
They have to carry a lot of stuff to meet any kind of situation. So everything that we do has to be designed that's small, it's rugged, it can get beaten up.
Yeah.
It can be repaired or replaced easily.
You can't have a mobile crime lab rolling around with Bunsen burners and whatnot.
Can't have that. That's right. That's a good point. So this one will be, it's a very small device. It does the same thing, but except instead of holding this up to a card, you put the vial in there, you push a button, and it gives you a digital reading. So you see the number right there on the screen in front of you.
Wow.
And are able to write that down or do whatever you need to do. Look at that. It says 0.35. Our internal policy says anything less than 0.7, we're going to cut loose.
Right.
And, right. You know, have a nice day. Oh, look at that. It's registering at 2.8. It's way above anything that we'd expect to see for hemp. Let's investigate this as a marijuana offense. So the third device is the most technically advanced of all three, and that's actually a miniature field spectrophotometer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that actually will attach, almost certainly will have it attached to cell phones or their existing PDAs to provide the interface. So that interface could be just an app that you can download.
Sure.
And you can manage that app right there on your phone or your PDA. And the spectrophotometer, I know it sounds really fancy and all that. They're not that technically challenging.
I'll take your word for it.
But they're in common use. They really are. And cell phone attached spectrophotometers are commercially available. It's just being able to take one, having it reliably and tested reliably that it can appropriately quantify the Delta-9 THC that's where the work is at.
So is this third device, that might be something that is a little more geared towards the hemp grower, for example, the farmer, if you will, that needs to get serious readings right there, minute by minute, right on their phone.
It could be. It absolutely could be. You may have two departments and let's say three departments and within 5 miles of each other.
Okay.
One department may have a policy, we absolutely positively want to have the disposable field test because of whatever reasons. The next department may say, we want the middle device because we like more of a unit that has a fixed cost and we can send it in for repair and do what we need to do. And the third department may say, no, we really want the spectrophotometer one because we're really heavy on the use of our cell phones. We manage more on our cell phones, our department issued cell phones, and that's what we want. So not one of them right now is specifically designed for a particular consumer in mind. They're designed for based on that department or that person or that organization's goals and desires.
I assume the price point moves up with each device as well. The first one,
the price point moves up, but the cost per test moves down.
Makes sense.
So the cost per test for the manual one, that's very high. If you're only going to do 2, 3, 4 of these a week, you probably just want the disposable field test kit.
Sure.
But if you're doing hundreds or thousands a week, it becomes more cost advantageous for your department to have the units. And therefore, your test costs are much, much less.
And if everything's linked on your phone or computer or whatever, you can instantly send that off to whoever needs that information, too.
Some departments have that ability on their phones or PDAs, and they can upload that information directly into their CAD or computer-aided dispatch or records management system, RMSs. So, yes, they could potentially do that.
So I know you can't know, but do you see any pushback that could come from law enforcement on this? To me, this sounds like exactly what they've been asking for, because there's been so many incidents, One of the stories we covered was like a truck driving through Arkansas that got pulled over. Everything got pulled off. The trucker was arrested. They sent it away for testing. 2 months later, the tests come back. The trucker has been in jail the whole time. And they go, sorry, you didn't do anything wrong. And by the way, we got to throw all that away because it's garbage. This sounds exactly like what law enforcement has been asking for. Do you see any pushback coming?
You know, I think there's anytime you have a new technology, it sounds too good to be true. There's going to be pushback from certain departments, especially in my experience. I've seen certain, not any particular geographical area, but I've always seen it's been interesting. Different parts of the country, law enforcement, different parts of the country will have different ways of policing, different goals and different ways of going at this.
Of course.
So yeah. I don't think that, you know, this is going to be, you know, selling millions and millions from day one. I think that adoption is going to be slow because law enforcement is, you know, they're going to be particular to make sure that this is can do what it says it can do,
right?
And that they can apply it the way they should apply it. And then two, you know, they're going to have to roll this into their budgets and their procedures, and these things take time. It's just not an overnight proposition. Last but not least, this test is not designed to replace the crime lab test. It is designed to keep out the ones that never should go to the crime lab.
Gotcha.
The hemp ones.
No, and that makes sense. I mean, like, yeah. If you can cut it off right there and say, we have something that's going to give us a real solid number that we can look at and say, we don't need to waste our time with this. That is what's really important.
Agreed. And I think that's where the value is in this product. Is keeping those legal hemp products from tying up the resources of law enforcement because they have better things to do.
Of course.
They really don't want to arrest people for no reason but you know, they're charged with enforcing the law.
Right.
And it could be the state, the county, the city council, whomever says this is what the people of that jurisdiction say, this is what you need to investigate. And they can't say no.
I mean,
they have to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this gives them the tool to be able to still do that, but also avoid, you know, sending these unnecessary, very expensive, time-consuming tests to crime labs, everybody wins. Law enforcement, crime labs, everybody.
So from your history and perspective, just speaking from what you saw, let's say this rolls out everywhere, you know, what kind of time save and money save is this reflecting for like your local crime lab that's working on something? Like what percentage of these tests that you saw coming in personally were a waste of your time? Were testing marijuana or testing hemp?
So, you know, when I was actually running the crime lab, you know, it didn't matter if it was hemp or marijuana. It was all legally defined as marijuana.
Right.
It didn't matter if it had 0.05% THC. This has only been something that's like maybe the last 12 months that's sure. been an issue. I have seen some ancillary data that many of the state crime labs do not have the resources or push back on doing this test themselves.
Yeah,
it's not technically challenging. It's just, you know, it's very time consuming and expensive, and they got a lot to do, and they have fixed budgets. There are some private crime labs that will do it, and their turnaround time is typically measured 3 or more months,
yeah.
usually double that. And the cost is $602 and up. It's not uncommon to see, yeah, one of these. So imagine how many people.
God bless private industry, right?
And that's per sample, by the way. So in the case of the truck driver, they would have to take at least 28 samples to identify that entire truck. At least 28.
That's
the minimum.
$600 a pop.
At least.
Wow.
So, I mean, nobody wants to spend that money.
No.
So,
no, I'm in the wrong business, obviously.
Yeah.
this sounds amazing. And I don't know. I, not knowing, you know, not being a scientist myself and not working in the field, from what I've read and talking to you, this sounds like it is going to change things, like literally change the game when it comes down to. I'm a police officer, or I am a trucker, or I am a hemp farmer. This sounds like every step of the way you could be saving a lot of time, a lot of money, and just covering your own ass when it comes down to it, if you will.
Yeah, though, you know, from our perspective, we here we are, we're in the hemp business and we're doing very well. And, you know, we have an obligation to serve, to take care of all members that are in this field. Right. Hemp became, boom, literally almost overnight legal, and it flooded the markets.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really unfair to ask that our existing laws and our policies in each and every jurisdiction is able to just change their policies overnight.
Right.
It's not fair to expect. So we hear these stories and, you know, grandmother gets arrested at Disney World and the trucker gets arrested and his vehicle's impounded. And, you know, as a scientist, my first question is, how do I fix that? I should fix it.
Right. It's just such a colossal waste of time and money.
Colossal. And nobody likes it. There's not a single person that gets involved in that, from the police officer to the jurisdiction, to the courts, to the crime lab.
Right.
The person getting arrested that thought, you know, that was a really good experience.
Right. The company that's selling it or the company that's buying it. This is a massive pain that goes all the way back to the farm. You know, it's just insanity.
Correct. Yes, it is. Yep. Yep. Absolutely is. And, you know, if we can take, let's just half of those cases and eliminate the need to go to the lab, that's, you know, thousands of people
right.
that didn't have to go through this.
Right.
And that's, right. we're, you know, that's a true benefit we're bringing to the market.
And not just the people that didn't have to go through it. That's thousands of traffic stops or, you know, tests that officers don't have to worry about and can do their job and take care of real issues. I mean,
correct. They've got a lab test in the field that says this, you know, I could, you know, my internal policy, my training and this lab test said I was able to move in this direction. And, you know, it's substantiated by this field test.
Right. And take it out of the officer's hands. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't have to you also don't have to make a judgment call that may or may not be wrong. Here you go. You've done your job. The little boxes were good. We're good. Have a nice day. I think it's amazing.
Or it's hot and I need to take you in.
Right.
You know,
and I'm doing the right thing because this is my training and it's telling me to do so. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. But think about it. For every one person that, you know, ends up with what they thought was happening, turns out to be legally defined as marijuana, there's got to be 10 more, 20 more that, you know, don't. They actually have a legal hemp product. And now it's those extra 20, those extra 10 that we're hopefully going to be able to help.
Yeah, without a doubt. And man, Ron, I know you're a scientist, but you're doing the work of the angels here, and we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thanks again to Ron for coming on the show. I really enjoyed talking to him. And it's subjects like this, when it comes to testing, that seems so simple but can be so complex. And I can't stress enough that putting a testing device like this in the hands of police, how much it's going to change shipping hemp, especially through states that aren't quite as hemp friendly as some other ones. I'll have a picture of the device in the show notes for this episode as well. Ron and I went on to talk about the DEA and some classifications that they need to work on that will also help, but I'll save that one for another podcast. It's really interesting, and I'm excited for you guys to hear that too. That brings us to the end of another Ministry of Hemp podcast. Thanks again to Marissa for hooking up this interview. Really cool topic, and I love talking about stuff like this. And if you dig what we do here and the hemp education, and maybe you're learning something and you want to help spread the word, head to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp. There's also a link on ministryofhemp.com you can just click on, and any amount that you give makes you a Ministry of Hemp insider. It gets you access to early articles, to podcast extras, a bunch of other stuff too. And like I said, it helps us spread the good word of hemp education. So if you believe that hemp can change the world like I do, become a Ministry of Hemp insider. It helps so much. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, Don't just take my word for it. Head over to our site where we've got a new CBD review of Recepta Naturals Serious Rest Tincture. We've also got a really cool story about how more and more pro athletes are using CBD for recovery, energy, and focus. And football season is starting this week, so I hope those guys are stocked up. We also have a very cool article about CBG. It's an introduction to cannabigerol. CBG is very hot right now in the CBD world, so it's a good one to read. Figure out, is this something that could help you that you might want to add to your regimen? Check all those articles out over at ministryofhemp.com. And if you need more Ministry of Hemp in your life, you can follow us on all of our social media at Ministry of Hemp, /Ministry of Hemp. We are everywhere. We're constantly throwing out cool stories, links to cool people who are doing amazing things in the hemp universe. And if you have questions, call me, 402-819-6417, and leave me your hemp-related question after the beep, and we will answer it on this show. Speaking of which, next week we are going to be talking about scams. We talk a lot about what CBD does. We're going to take a break and talk about what it doesn't do. That is going to be a fun one. And before I get out of here, I just want to mention Ministry of Hemp believes that a more accessible world is a better world for everyone. So you can find a full written transcript for this show in the notes as well. All right, that's it. It's time for me to go. And I like to end the show the same way every time by saying, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.